السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Can you just ask the brothers to stand up من فضلك and to fill the gaps now already. It is raining outside. There are people going to stand outside. They are working on the side. Can you just ask the brothers to fill up from the front من فضلك now already. جزاكم الله خيرا. Always bear in mind that the barakah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the front صف. The Sahaba used to compete with one another to sit in the front to receive and retrieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make it a habit inshaAllah to fill the masjid from the front already. So there is no need for the people to climb over the shoulders of the others. Jazakumullah khairan. Just ask Abdul to switch on the main lights of the masjid in Fadlik. Abdul, just the main lights of the masjid in the front in Fadlik.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها، وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل، إن الله نعما يعظكم به، إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. All praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher, and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the Prophets. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, respected youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace at this auspicious time of Jum'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. The concept of freedom is the distinguishing quality of human beings. And each and every human being has the right to be free. Freedom, therefore, refers to a state of being in which any individual is able to make a choice in thought, a choice in behavior, or a choice in speech or association, and also the ability to avoid doing so, but without violating similar freedoms on the part of other people. From this statement and this understanding, we deduce 3 points. One, freedom has both the dimension of doing something or not doing something. In other words, the choice to do something or the choice not to do something. Secondly, there are limits and restraints to the choice that a person has in that freedom, because that freedom to do or not to do should not impinge upon the rights and the freedoms of other people. And thirdly, because freedom implies the notion of choice, the individual is accountable for the choice of action or thought or deed that they engage in, and therefore must bear the consequence of that choice and of that freedom. Today is a holiday celebrating Freedom Day in our country, an annual commemoration on the occasion where almost 20 million of our citizens and our compatriots queued historical queues we saw to take part in the country's first free non-racial and free democratic election in the year 1994. 24 years today has passed since that particular historic occasion. Peace, unity, dignity, the preservation and the restoration of human rights were the hallmarks of that Freedom Day on 27th of April 1994. And each year, like today, marks in some ways the liberation of our country and our people from a long period of colonialism and of white minority domination. The question we ask after 24 years of commemorating Freedom Day, 24 years after the first free democratic election, the question we need to ask is our country truly free? The acknowledgement of the fact that though we have come a long way in many instances, so many of our citizens have not yet tasted the fruits of the promises that was anticipated after the election in 1994. And unfortunately, we are held captive by a reality in a South Africa that suffers from a crime epidemic, where people feel unsafe, where we have an incredibly weak and corrupt, inefficient government with a reprehensible and timid attitude towards combating crime. And many of our political leaders have betrayed the solemn commitment to build a free and fair and just society in a post-apartheid South Africa, to meet the needs of the poorest of the poor, and to alleviate the suffering of the needy and the disadvantaged. We are held captive by ineffective law and order, an underpaid and understaffed and inefficient police force, where criminals run free, and the notion of accountability seems absent, and the wheels of justice seems to turn extremely slowly, if at all. The vast majority of our people are still living in abject poverty, with a pitiful service delivery and a crippling unemployment rate. We are in a society where some are still continued victims of unaddressed injustices of the past, that they are not afforded the opportunity to survive and live with dignity. Where some are so preoccupied at looking only at the past that they are unable to look ahead and plan a path for a better future. And on the other hand, there are some who are so engrossed in enjoying the privileges that they do have that they still forget to address the rights of those who are in need and those who are denied. So when self-centered economic enrichment, exploitation of political authority and office and position, and selfish political power combine, then we have what we call a recipe for dhulm. Dhulm, of course, means darkness as well as oppression. Injustice and the gloom of darkness and pessimism then fosters and festers, and all elements, these are all elements contrary to the very notion of freedom for which people have fought. In Islam, we find the Quranic concept of freedom is described with many words and many expressions. Hur, tahrir, freedom, najat, protection or even salvation. Fawz, the reaching of a target, achieving a goal. Falah, total well-being or success. The flowing and the flowering of potential. Fulfillment of latent qualities. All of these are terms and terminology used in the Quran or in the Hadith, and more particularly in these words in the Quran regarding freedom. Three aspects to human freedom that we have referred to, let us view it from an Islamic perspective. One, the issue of human freedom in Islam. It begins with the notion that we are born free. The majority of our Christian brothers and sisters, they have the belief that we are born in sin, and therefore somebody has to redeem for our sins and pay with their blood or their lives. In Islam, we don't have that notion that anybody dies for the sin of anyone else, nor that anyone is accountable for anyone else. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَى لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. وعليها ما اكتسبت. Numerous in the Quran that clearly indicate individual freedom, accountability rather, for what we do. So we are born free, we're not born in original sin. We're not bearing the brunt of anyone else's guilt and wrongdoing. Second, given the fact that human beings are free to choose, and therefore we are somewhat less than angels in the sense that they don't deviate from the commands of Allah. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. That angels, they are Allah compatible in all that they do, but they don't have the free choice to disobey. So in one way they are purer than us, on the other hand, we have the capacity to rise above that. إن الله تعالى خلق الملائكة وركب فيهم العقل وخلق البهائم وركب فيهم الشهوة وخلق بني آدم وركب فيهم العقل والشهوة. Allah created angels and they act upon pure reasoning compatible with the divine, never deviating. Then He created animals and beasts, they act upon instinct and desire and passion. Then Allah created human beings that have both the angelic capacity of doing good and of purity, but also in the animalistic dimension of desire and lust and wants and greed and so on and so forth. Base appetites and base needs like the animal. فَمَنْ غَلَبَ عَقْلَهُ عَلَى الشَّهْوَةِ فَهُوَ أَعْلَى مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That person, that human being, who has both the angelic as well as the animalistic propensity, who rises above, can rise above the angel if they choose to do, by choice, to do what is best and good, then they rise above the angels who have no choice to do that. But we can also go lower than the animal, despite having reason and logic, to act upon our base instinct and desire as a primary motive of our behavior. So, we need to realize that we have free choice. But we have the innate ability within ourselves to distinguish right from wrong. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا. Not نَفْسُ الْمُسْلِمِ وَلَا لَيْسَ نَفْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Not the nafs of a believer or a Muslim. وَنَفْسٍ, the soul itself, the individual self in this case, has the innate capacity. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَى. It has the innate capacity, the natural disposition to be able to distinguish wrong from right. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Elevated, successful indeed are those who purify themselves. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And debased are those who choose to become involved in that which is nefarious and negative and evil. You corrupt yourself in that process. Third, because we have the notion of choice in our action, that implies accountability and there's consequences for our action. Whether it be the political level, or the individual level, social level, whatever level it may be, we have a consequence, and therefore Allah says in the Quran, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. To each person the accountability. The Quran uses the term tied to the necks. And you can't free yourself from the accountability and the consequence of your deeds. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ. For each human being, we've tied to his neck, so to say. He's bound or she's bound by the deeds. And those deeds are documented and will be brought forth, documented in whichever Allah knows, whichever way, and will be presented to us on the day of Qiyamah. These are the records of your deeds. اقرأ كتابك. Read the content of what you have done. Sufficient are your deeds as a testimony against yourself. Whoever chooses to be guided or chose to be guided has chosen to be guided for his or her own good. And whoever chose to go astray or deviate or denigrate or lower themselves have chosen to do so at their own peril. But they bear the consequence of that. So it's important to remember in Islam that freedom means freedom to do good, not freedom just to do anything. And therefore in the Arabic language, the word hur, though it implies a freedom, it also has the connotation of karama, of nobility and of nobleness. Freedom never exists like anything else, never exists in a vacuum. A type of freedom that respects the other is what we're talking about. But not freedom from moral obligation. Freedom to do what is good, not freedom from doing what is right. Freedom for truth, for justice, for virtue, and for righteousness. I have traveled, alhamdulillah, to many, many countries. And many of my friends I see here, some of them were just come back from overseas, and will bear testimony to the fact, as much as you appreciate other places, South Africa is still among the best countries in the world. Diversity of people, rich in mineral resources, sufficient food, beautiful landscape, wonderful weather, waiting for more rain, inshallah. Freedom of religion and expression, which is not found in most countries, especially Muslim countries. A proud legacy of struggle, a proud legacy of struggle. We have indeed come a long way in a short time. And don't undermine or underestimate that. Because we're not trying to be pessimistic, but being realistic, because it motivates us to know what we need to do. So we have a diversity of people, rich in mineral resources, sufficient food, beautiful landscape and land, wonderful weather, freedom of religion and expression, very rare in the world today, proud legacy of struggle, proud legacy of struggle. We have indeed come a long way in a short time, but freedom that people fought and died for is much more than that. 24 years after the first democratic election, it feels as if we have made indeed some great strides in the face of considerable adversity coming out of an era of apartheid and colonialism. But for those who are in authority, we still have a string of broken fundamental promises. From those who were entrusted the baton of freedom by those who literally paid with their lives for that freedom. And nothing is more emblematic, more an example or a reflection of the 1994 democratic transition than the moral undertaking by those who came to power to right the wrongs of apartheid, to undo the wrongs of apartheid. The promise to level the playing field through rolling back the poison of the apartheid's crimes, among which was, of course, number one, inequality, injustice, poverty, and unemployment. All of which was promised as an integral part of the undertaking of 1994's election. An undertaking which recognized the fact that freedom should mean emancipation from poverty, from unemployment, racism, from bigotry in all its forms, and discrimination and all levels of inequity and injustice. Freedom should mean a better life for all, not only for some, irrespective of the color of your skin. And by that standard, the journey to freedom is still a long way to go. So we have indeed traveled a long way on the journey to freedom. A struggle in which so many people were involved, where so many paid with their lives. A struggle in which many Muslims too played an essential role, from Mowri Kachalia to Ahmed Timol, from Dr. Abu Bakr Azwad to Gora Ibrahim, from Rahima Musa, who led the march, to Dala Umar in our community, from Bani Desai to Fatima Mir, in fact, from the time of Tuanguru to Ahmed Kathrada, and of course, never forgetting the martyr, Imam Abdullah Harun, after whom the very road on which this mosque stands is named. After whom? The mosque which we are in is named, the road is named after Imam Abdullah Harun. They have all, in some way or the other, perpetuated the command of which we are reminded every Jum'ah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ. Certainly, Allah commands justice and goodness and magnanimity to your near ones and dear ones. Allah forbids all forms of evil, of corruption, and all forms of injustice. Allah admonishes you so that you may perchance reflect. Reflecting upon what is right, doing what is best, pursuing what is just is always the hallmark of a true believer. Reflecting upon what is right, doing what is best, and pursuing what is just is always the hallmark of a true believer. In fact, so significant is this notion of the pursuit of justice that in the Quran Allah says, "I'dilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa," be just, for that is the closest expression to piety. Justice and the manifestation thereof is the closest expression to piety according to the Quran. So our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam manifested this notion of doing what is right, reflecting upon what is good, and pursuing what is just. In one of the traditions documented by Ibn Abban, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Awsani Rabbi bi tis'in wa usikum biha." Allah advised me regarding 9 things, and I advise you regarding that. "Awsani bil ikhlasi fi sirri wal alaniya, wal adlu fi ridha wal ghadab, wal qasd fi al faqr wal ghina." He said, Allah has advised me sincerity in private and in public, justice in all circumstances, whether I am angry or happy, moderation in my expenditure, in my dealings, in times of scarcity or in times of abundance. وَنَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَنِي وَأَصِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَنِي وَأَعْطِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَنِي. To forgive those who may have wronged me, to be generous to those who may deny me, to maintain relationship with those relations who break relation with me. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ صَمْتِي فِكْرًا وَمَنْطِقِي ذِكْرًا وَنَظَرِي عِبْرًا. He said, and that my silence should be contemplative, my speech should always be mindful, and my looking should be insightful, that what I see, I learn from it. And then he concluded, وَآمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that I'm always of those who implement what is right, and I prevent what is wrong. So as long as the journey on the path to full freedom continues, we as Muslims, who have been an integral part of that noble struggle, ensure that there is a genuine focus on freedom, a genuine focus on freedom for all the people of our land, a continued pursuit for peace, for equity, and for justice. Remember that we as people of faith should always be a voice of conscience. People of faith should always be a voice of conscience, activists for freedom and justice, because that reflects the mission of prophets, of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Surah Al-Hadid, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah says in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57 of the Holy Quran, verse 25, he says, surely Allah has sent prophets throughout history, not the last prophet or the first one or the biblical ones that we know of mentioned in the Quran or otherwise. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلْنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. We have sent prophets throughout history with clear guidance and clear guidelines, and we have revealed with them the standard of the book, the scripture as a whole, well, mizan, and the balance. Why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people may live with justice. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.